The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. It's another gorgeous day here in the Auburn Opelika area. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Back in the studio with me on this Wednesday afternoon is Uncle T-Bone. How are you, man? Happy Wednesday. Great to see you once again.
Yep, thanks for having me, Jacob. Thanks for listening out there, Radio Land, On the Line, 106.7, ESPN Auburn, Opelika. We will be on for the next 2 hours, and there is a ton to discuss. Breaking news, Jacob, Trey Donaldson is in the portal. The Auburn point guard is apparently leaving Auburn after this season, the sophomore from Tallahassee, Florida. And we were talking about it right here before the show started, and that is a disappointing loss for everybody in studio. We all agreed that he had gotten much better this year as the season progressed and had a very bright future at Auburn, but apparently he has entered into the transfer portal and may be leaving Auburn next season.
Yeah, he intends to enter the transfer portal. The news coming out earlier today. Sources are from Trey Donaldson himself, from an Instagram post. And so I think it is crucial that it does say intends to enter the portal, but I think it's pretty set in stone that he is going to be out and looking for other options. And so that's what we're talking about today. That's big news. Could there be more coming? Could there be more news when it comes to the transfer portal for Auburn basketball, additions and subtractions? And lots to get to with that. We'll also have Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 after Georgia wrapped up the NIT last night. They were in it but fell short against a Seton Hall team that just proved that they should have been in the NCAA tournament. And so we'll have that to talk about, plus spring football in Athens as well with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Outside of that interview, though, phone lines are open. What's on your mind? What do you think about everything going on around Auburn right now? 334-321-1390. Baseball up at Birmingham playing UAB tonight from the game that was rescheduled from last night. I don't know about other places, but I don't think Auburn got the weather we were expecting, unless I just slept through it last night.
Yeah, a little north of us, thank goodness.
Yeah.
There was some pretty serious weather that was anticipated in the Auburn Opelika area last night. We had the weather radio on last night. It did go off a couple of times and startle me out of bed, Jacob, but that's okay. That's the job that it's supposed to do.
That's right.
Thank goodness it was not too bad. It got a little weird yesterday. Got really warm, and it got, you know, the moisture levels got up.
That's when you start getting a little sketched out.
And there's a cold front coming. I was like, I've seen this happen many times before in April. Unfortunately, I was here in 2011. Were you living in the state then?
All my family was, but I was not.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the same feel of that day by any means. But man, you know, when it gets warm like that in April and it gets and the humidity gets up, you better watch out for thunderstorms that night.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, again, we want to hear from you on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. We know you got thoughts on Trey Donaldson entering the transfer portal, another loss for Auburn basketball. A couple of guys, of course, ran out of eligibility. This is the second transfer portal entry of this cycle for Auburn basketball, KD Johnson being the first. West, and then now Trey Donaldson. And look, I think there's potential that this is not the last one, and I think there is something to be said about that. I think there is good and bad there, and we're going to get to the phone lines in just a second. But yeah, this one hurts, Uncle T-Bone. This one stings a little bit to watch Trey Donaldson walk away from this program, because you said it, and I'm going to echo it. Man, Trey Donaldson has done nothing but get better since he got at Auburn.
Yeah.
And he was primed to have his best season yet again. He's only had two, but he's gotten better each time. And I really thought that the next year he was going to be that guy. And I think there are numerous reasons why he's in the portal. We'll get to that as we go. But just on the forefront before we get to Lonnie, man, this one hurts a little bit to watch Trey Donaldson walk away.
The portal giveth, the portal taketh away. And this is what's disappointing in NIL, is that you get a guy that was going to be in his third year in your system. You've watched him, in the famous words of Pat Dye, wrestle with them angels. and he has nothing but gotten better. A very disappointing end to his career at Auburn by missing those two free throws late against Yale. That does not define the player that he is. And will be wherever he ends up. I wish him nothing but the best. He was one of my favorite, if not favorite, players on the team this season. He's a heck of an athlete. I mean, you can't really tell on television, Jacob. Guy 6'3", 200 pounds. He's built like a rock. Was a four-star football player at Florida State University School, the high school there in Tallahassee. Played both quarterback and defensive back. Florida State wanted him to play defensive back and stay home.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy is an athlete. This guy's a baller. He like I said, he got better. He played tough defense. He was almost always in there for a key rebound. And I just really hate that he's going to leave, because I think next year, if he stays in this system, he's going to make that big jump. And I was anticipating him to be our starting point guard next year.
I think there was potential for that, but maybe not so much if he is entering the portal. Maybe he wasn't going to be ready for whatever the rotation or the system and who's coming in, who's hanging around. Maybe he just wasn't going to go through it again. And I said numerous times, I mean, he's good enough to start at just about anywhere he wants to go, and we'll see what happens with Trey Donaldson. So much more thoughts on that today, and get into a little bit deeper on the transfer portal for Auburn basketball. But let's get to the phone lines here to get the show going. 334-321-1390. Lonnie Lochapoca, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing all right, man. What's on your mind?
Well, I do want to talk about the Trey Donaldson thing real quick. Do either one of you know whether this was, you know, planned by Bruce, that he's got a backup plan, or was this a complete shock? I haven't really read anything about it other than just seeing that he's in the portal.
Well, I mean, there's nothing official out, but from the information that I've been told and gathering and kind of talking to some folks around the situation, it just seems that Trey would have had a spot on this team. I just don't think it was the spot that he wanted, right? Because on this past year's team, he started 10 games on the year. Came in when Aiden wasn't on the floor. He played good minutes, but he wasn't starting, and he wasn't that guy. And I think he sort of saw the writing on the wall with potentially a guy that's on campus right now. I think there's just a lot of moving parts right here. And while Auburn may have wanted him, I don't know if Trey Donaldson felt that this was the best spot for him anymore in terms of playing time and development. And I think he decided it was time to move on.
Well, bottom line, and he has gotten better, but the bottom line is we got to have shooters at the guard position, period. I mean, that's evident by all the teams that have moved on through the tournament. You've got to have shooters, and we just are way too inconsistent at that position right now.
Well, I agree with that. You got to have strong guard play, especially in the NCAA tournament, especially at this level in the SEC. But, you know, I'll say this, Lonnie. Trey Donaldson was beginning to knock back those key shots and was shooting the ball much, much better, really, as the season progressed, as opposed to Aiden Holloway.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to talk about something else, and I know you guys are not a political show, and I certainly don't want to make it that way, but it does weave into athletics a good bit. I have read over the last several weeks about the potential gambling bill in the state of Alabama, and us, you know, possibly being able to get, you know, that might open up some scholarship situations like they have over at Georgia and other states. And from what I have read and what I've, you know, what I'm understanding, people I have talked to kind of in the know and that know some state senators, Alpha Insurance is killing this bill. And it, from what I understand, it's not about money or anything like that. It's a moral objection to the bill. Now, you can have whatever opinion you want morally on that kind of stuff, but the fact of the matter is this state needs revenue for education. It certainly would help Auburn and Alabama as far as sports are concerned and the other colleges around the state. But the hypocrisy of that, if that's true, that Alpha is, and I believe Jimmy Parnell is the president of Alpha, if he killed that bill while a year ago at the same time taking their executives and some of their employees out to a retreat in Las Vegas, which from what I understand that is an absolute fact, I got a real problem with that because, like I said, you can have whatever opinion you want about the gambling bill, but the revenue is needed, and if we've got hypocritical people at Alpha like that throwing their weight around and killing it, I think that's the wrong message to send, and I think it's the wrong decision.
Lonnie, you know, obviously this isn't a political show. We try not to go there. Sometimes we do, and it upsets some of our loyal listeners. But in this case, I think it needs to be discussed here because ultimately this can also be about sports. What have we heard about for years over in Georgia, Florida, yep, Tennessee, Mississippi, with their baseball programs especially, that there's so many more scholarships available for, and money for those players because there's only, what, I don't know the exact number, what, 15 scholarships for baseball? Well, you got to have more than 15 guys to play college baseball, right? And if you listen to this quote, this is from Alabama Farmers Federation President Jimmy Parnell on proposed gaming legislation at the State House. We are against gambling, have been against gambling for many, many years. Folks, if you don't think that people in the state of Alabama are gambling to the tune, from what I've heard, of well over $1 billion a year by some experts, in college athletics, especially primarily football, but now basketball, but because it's so hot, if you don't think that these folks aren't gambling in the state of Alabama already, I've got some oceanfront property in Notasauga, Lonnie. I'll sell it to you real cheap, and from Highway 14, you can see the sea.
I've heard as much as $50 to $100 million a year leave this state in money that is going to states that surround us. So while I don't want to make it political, I do hope that there's somebody listening that may know more about this bill or more about this legislation than I do and how it relates to, you know, Auburn and Alabama and the state in general. But I just think it's a little ridiculous. And from what I understand, Alpha is the culprit here. And I know Alpha is a big supporter of Auburn and Alabama and athletics around the state, but that doesn't give you a free pass here, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're making a big point there, Lonnie. Hey, we appreciate the call, man. Great to hear from you. 334-321-1390. On a topic that, you know, circulates around every now and then, it always comes back up, especially in this state where it's not legal, where you don't have a lottery and you don't have casinos and you don't have online sports gambling, which this conversation, and we've had, you and I have had some really good conversations about this on the show, where we've had some in-depth ones where it's like, okay, you look at the state of Alabama and really you look at the state of sports, where 20 years ago, talking about sports betting and sports gambling was frowned upon. Like, it was a negative connotation to start talking about betting on a game and trying to find a bookie to go and bet on the game on Thursday night. But now, when you turn on the TV, when you turn on the radio, when you turn on and go onto a website to read an article, half of the ads are about FanDuel or DraftKings or Barstool, whoever the case may be, right? The sports world and sports media for so long said, nope, we're not doing it, we're not doing it, we're not going to buy into that, we're not going to take their money, we don't believe in that, we're going to keep sports clean, we're going to keep it fair, because that's what the NCAA did, that's what the organizations did. They then finally gave in. They finally broke. They saw that dollar sign, and they let them go. And now it's everywhere. And now you have athletes in college getting busted. You have athletes in the pros getting busted. You have coaches and managers and CEOs getting busted because they're gambling on sports. And that's a whole separate thing. But in this particular instance, when it comes to the state of Alabama, they're one of what? The three states that don't have a lottery? Four states that don't have a lottery? And every 6 months, it seems like a new state is adopting online sports gambling. Look, like Lonnie said, and we're going to get to break and then John's up next, but whether you like it or not, whether you're into the whole sports betting, gambling thing or not, guess what? You don't have to do it. But the money it would bring in for the state of Alabama, who is in the bottom portion of the country in education, that could also use money for athletics and things like that on the university level, yeah, I think at this point, if people are going to do it anyway, why not make it legal in the state? That's kind of where I stand on it.
Maybe if folks at the University of Alabama would push that in this bill that they would take the revenue that they get from gambling for athletics, and instead of like doing scholarships or whatever for it, if they would promise to like put a down payment on replacing that dump Coleman Coliseum, this thing might pass. Okay? I mean, it's ridiculous, dude. Everyone's gambling. I'm at the Auburn baseball game, and yes, Alpha is a massive supporter of Auburn and Auburn Athletics. Thank you so much, Alpha. And on the on the outfield wall, there's an advertisement for Wind Creek Casinos.
There you go.
But there's no gambling in the state of Alabama, and we can't. We're opposed morally to people gambling when there's about $1 billion worth of it already going in illegally and not being taxed. Well, that's just genius, guys.
Well, I've said that for a while. It's like drive 45 minutes down the road and you can go put money in a slot machine, but you can't sit down at a poker table and you can't get on your phone and place a bet on the national championship game. What? Make that make sense.
You can't. Right? It's hypocritical.
It is, and I don't know anything or really have any opinion on the whole Alpha stuff or who's involved and who's shutting it down, but I think the majority of folks would say, the general public anyway, which whether they have a voice now or not, I don't really know, but most people would say, yeah, just legalize it. Bring in the money for the state. You may as well, because the state needs it. Let's just be real. There's some parts around here that could use some help, could use some money, and education is probably the most important one. Who cares that it came from somebody betting $100 on the game? That means kids can have better books, kids can go to nicer schools, nicer playgrounds, and then as we're talking on the college sports level, yeah, more scholarships and more opportunities for kids to play college ball. Like, tell me what the bad part about that is. I don't understand it. I don't fully get it. And I think Lonnie brings up a really good point. And I appreciate him calling in to bring that up.
Sure.
Because it's a topic that doesn't always come up. But when it does, I think people are passionate about it.
Hey, you can just go to ESPN and see advertisements for FanDuel. You can go to AL.com and see advertisements for whatever gambling sites that they're promoting now. But you can't go down to a casino and lay a legal wager on a football game or a baseball game or a basketball game. But then I can find somebody at a local bar called Local Man and call them, and the state's not going to get anything out of it. Okay, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, it is what it is. 334-321-1390. John, we're going to get to you first up when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, let's get to the phone lines once again. 334-321-1390. John and Auburn, you're on the line. We appreciate you holding on, man. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, I have another different topic than the last segment.
Okay.
But I have another controversial opinion I would like to make here. Uh-oh.
Well, this is the place to bring it.
It is. Saturday, A-Day, and I've been going to A-Day since I was a child, a small child. This is the most boring sporting event of the year in Auburn, Alabama.
That's not controversial, John. That's factual.
I would rather freeze my you-know-what off in Plainsman Park President's Day weekend. So let's. So I'm was thinking about this. I've figured out some ways that we can revamp A-Day.
Okay, here we go. I love it.
Just want to present this real quick.
We can gamble on it?
Well, you know, isn't it ironic? You can't gamble on the Detroit Mets series legally in Alabama, but with Daily Fantasy Sports, you can bet over or under the number of total outs Casey Mize will have.
I totally forgot about all of that stuff too. Yeah, you can't.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't bet on the over under, but you can bet more than or less than. It depends on the terminology that they use on some of these apps. It's absurd, John. You bring up a great point.
Go ahead with your thoughts on A-Day.
So I think the SEC will go to 9 conference games beginning in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think that's where it's going to go. Okay. We have to cut this FCS game out of the fall schedule, especially if we're going to have extended playoffs. So why not move the FCS game? Let's play Mercer, or I'd be in favor of playing HBCUs.
Yes.
Play them on A-Day.
That's
Bring
a great
in
idea.
Bring HBCUs and play one in the first half and one in the second half. Furthermore, you're not
like a jamboree.
Yeah, you're not filling the stadium up anyway. So if there's a kid who goes to Carver or goes to JD, or you're trying to develop a pipeline in Central Phoenix City right now, the upper decks are not going to be full for this that we're putting on the field now. So why not give out every elementary kid 2 tickets?
I mean, I like that. And, you know, Hugh Freeze has been trying to do stuff like that and trying to get anybody to come play and even get the conference or the NCAA to jump on it. But he said yesterday that when he brings it up, nobody really pushes back, but nobody really jumps on it either.
Well, we, as a school, we're not mandated by the SEC for anything we do on our spring game, I'm guessing. So why not be leaders in it? Because for Auburn to be good, I'll just say it like it is. We have to win inner-city Atlanta, inner-city Montgomery, inner-city Birmingham. We are toast right now. So why not build up good rapport in those areas right now and get kids that otherwise would not have the opportunity to attend an Auburn game, get them in the stadium?
I like that. I like it a lot. And I think there's real opportunities there. I think the only problem is when you start bringing in other schools to play, that is an NCAA ordeal, right? You can't just schedule a backyard game with whoever without the NCAA knowing about it, approving it, and all that type of stuff. And I think that's probably the biggest hurdle. And John, you know how much of a pain it is to deal with the NCAA. So, but I agree. I mean, it would be, you know, kids are on campus for recruiting this weekend for A-Day, but how excited are you to come and watch A-Day as a recruit? I mean, you're not watching anything. You're just kind of here to recruit. So why not use it as an even bigger recruiting weekend if it's possible? I'm with you, John.
And I'll give you one example. I have family from North Carolina. I have a half-brother who's in college right now and to this day is a Boston College basketball fan. Reason being, he grew up in Greensboro, and his public school would give everybody field trips to day one and day two of the ACC basketball tournament. And he told me by the time he was in junior high school, he said, hey, I can tell you the whole BC roster every year because I see him for a day or two every year in the springtime.
How about that? And that's how it works.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
So anyway, great show. Just give him my 2 cents.
I love it. Appreciate the call, John. Always great to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. And I think a lot of people would like to see that or something different. I mean, I've been talking about it for the last week and a half with A-Day coming up this weekend. I keep telling people they're going to hype it up. They're going to, and this is nothing against Auburn. Like, it's not an Auburn problem. This is a college football problem. Spring games are dumb. Like, they don't do anything for anybody. It's really just a fan fest, money pool, let's get as many people in town as possible. But if you don't live in the state of Alabama, are you really driving to Auburn this Saturday to come watch A-Day? Like, are you traveling from out of state, unless you live just over the Georgia line? Are you really going to travel to come watch A-Day this weekend?
I think y'all are underselling A-Day.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I really do. I don't like the fact that you got to pay $10 to go in. I think it should be free. You can sell beer, you can sell food, you can sell Cokes, you can sell gear to make up for the money. But A-Day is an awesome time to take your family down there, especially for people who can't normally get tickets. I am all for, like John, helping out HBCUs as much as possible.
For sure.
I think that if you can't get a game up with them for A-Day, then they should be on the schedule every single season. We should rotate them around from inside the state of Alabama. Keep the money in the state of Alabama.
I like that. I do like that. Hey, let's get to our bottom of the hour break. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will join us. Maybe get his thoughts on what G-Day is going to look like for the Dogs. Plus, all more insights on Georgia athletics. That's coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz with you on this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. And as we are joined every single Wednesday on the show, it's Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 over in Athens, the 24/7 sports site for Georgia athletics. Jordan, great to hear from you once again, man. Hope your week's going well.
Yeah, going great. We've got the countdown to the spring game going on over here. We got two more Saturdays, and we'll be back in Sanford Stadium, so everything's going well over here in Athens.
Well, we'll start on the basketball side of things. Georgia went deep in their own sort of postseason and got through the NIT tournament. Did come up short against a good Seton Hall team last night. What did it mean for Georgia to go through that NIT tournament, get all those games, all those reps, and make a really deep run?
You know, I think it did a big service for the job Mike White and his staff are going to have to take on this offseason as far as reloading this roster. You know, things were looking pretty rough toward the end of the regular season. At one point, they lost 9 of 10. And, you know, Mike White may want to send a gift basket over to his alma mater, Ole Miss, because if Ole Miss doesn't turn down an NIT bid, Georgia isn't playing in the tournament. And kudos to Georgia. They made the most of the opportunity, won three games. First time they have won multiple games in a postseason since 1998.
Wow.
So like you mentioned, came up short against Seton Hall. I don't think that was necessarily a surprise. I think that is a really good team. A Pirates team that I think a lot of people would argue should have made the NCAA tournament. You know, got outplayed by a superior team. But no, I still think it was worthwhile for Georgia. I think, you know, understanding that this wasn't an NCAA tournament run, you know, we understand sort of the bar and what people want to see from any given basketball program. This was definitely steps in the right direction. I'm really interested to see how the coaching staff can make the most of it as they go through navigating the portal, as well as targeting some of the high school recruits still out there.
Yeah, with the semifinals yesterday for the NIT last night yesterday, it's Indiana State and Seton Hall that are now playing for the championship, and those are two squads that you mentioned it. Most people said probably should have been in the NCAA tournament. While Georgia wasn't one of those teams that people were arguing to get in, I mean, a run like this really shows that they've got the talent, they've got a future ahead of them. What can you tell us about what the transfer portal's looking like right now for Mike White and his squad?
Well, it's going to be really interesting what the next few days look like. You know, now that Georgia's done, I think you are going to see some of the players on their roster make decisions. You know, the person that we're all watching is Silas Demery Jr., the point guard who's coming off a freshman season, where he started all but one game, and the one game he didn't start was senior day. They wound up letting Justin Hill, one of the seniors, start in his place. So he talked last night after the loss, said he's going to take some time and sort of decompress and really you know, take a little bit of time away from the game before he decides what he's going to do. I still think Georgia's in pretty good shape when it comes to retaining him, as well as fellow freshmen Blue Kane and Dylan James, which I think would be huge in what they're trying to build. But as far as looking out there in the portal, Georgia needs to go get a center. They know that with Russell Chiwa running out of eligibility. They're also looking for help at small forward and power forward. Probably more so small forward with Ethan Newell coming in, probably going to be playing that four. So they've been out there. We've seen a few names kind of trickle out there. Sam Alexis from Chattanooga is a forward. Ezra Osser from East Carolina is another forward. I believe he's 6'8". He's a guy that played high school basketball with Silas Demery. So We're starting to get a better picture of the guys that are going to be in the mix for Georgia. You're starting to see them be mentioned as potential landing spots for a few teams, but it's up to Mike White and staff to make the most of it. I think it's going to be a very busy few weeks and months for this team as they look forward to 24-25.
Jordan Hill, Dogs247, joins us here at On the Line. Jordan, G-Day is coming up. Football is pretty much in full swing around the South for spring. You know, we were just having a little lively conversation about these glorified scrimmages that are A-Day, G-Day, wherever you play day. I really kind of look at spring now, though, is prime time recruiting season. And that's why I think it is important to have these games a little bit more hyped up than in the past. Who are some of the big names right now that Georgia's on recruiting-wise? And are the Dogs anticipating any early or any more early spring commitments in football?
This is actually a really important week for Georgia. They've got two announcements coming up they're going to be watching really closely. The first one is on Thursday, four-star quarterback Matt Zollars. He's going to be picking from what it looks like it's going to be either Georgia, Missouri, or Penn State. There's a few other schools in the mix as well, Pitt and Alabama. But Georgia is one of these teams that there's been really three different quarterbacks they've sort of targeted in the 25 cycle. It's Matt Zollars, Juju Lewis from Carrollton, and also Ryan Montgomery from Ohio. And I think Georgia's pushing really hard to get Matt Zollars. It sounds like Missouri feels really good about where it stands. And this is going to be a situation where we're going to learn a lot more about their class based on what Matt Zollars decides to do. He's coming directly off of a Georgia visit. So if you're Georgia, I think you feel good that you sort of had the last shot at the pitch and sort of showing him what it would mean to be a Bulldog. But from what I've heard, I don't think anyone feels secure really on either side of this recruitment. I think we're all still waiting to see how that plays out. And then the next day, four-star interior offensive lineman Mason Short is going to be announcing his commitment. I will say this is one I think Georgia feels better about. Mason was an Alabama commit. I think he sort of opened things back up after Nick Saban decided to retire. So, yeah, very busy few days. And as our guy Ben Wolf over at Dogs247 pointed out to us the other day, Kirby Smart usually likes to stack good news upon good news. So, hey, maybe that's these two commits. Maybe it's getting Mason Short on Friday, maybe something this weekend. Definitely a very busy time of year, as T-Bone mentioned, and I expect that we'll learn a lot about this 25 class by the time we get to the weekend.
As the fourth week of spring rolls along, Jordan, and G-Day coming up, I want to get a question in about that in a second. But Kirby Smart met with you, all the media, I believe, was it Monday or yesterday that he was able to get on a microphone in front of you guys. Anything in particular, I always like to ask you this question, anything that he said that kind of caught your ear?
Yeah, we talked to him on Tuesday, which was a couple of days since they had their first scrimmage, and thought it was really interesting, you know, some of the intel that we got, and not only us on Dogs247, but a few of the other sites, as I understand it, it was the offensive line had played really well in that scrimmage. And, you know, when you have that kind of information, all of a sudden people on message boards are like, oh, you know, we're worried about defensive line. So defensive line was a big part of the conversation. And Kirby made it clear that he wasn't worried about this defensive line. He said that they've got the guys, that they feel really good about this group. And it's a really interesting situation for Georgia. You know, they sort of caught some flack last season. I think this was more so from fans than anyone else, because they didn't really have a lot of sacks. They didn't rack up a ton of sacks and tackles for loss. And Kirby made a point several different times talking about, you know, that sacks aren't the end-all, be-all, that you need to create havoc. It doesn't necessarily have to end with the quarterback going to the ground. But to hear him kind of come out and really praise that defensive line and sort of defend them when there was some criticism about them, that really stood out to me. And, you know, he talked about some of the receivers, guys that we think could step up in big ways. Dylan Bell's a guy that I think has a chance to become a household name this season. And he talked about him having a really good performance in the scrimmage on Saturday. And then Arian Smith, who has really been a surprise. He's a former track star, a speedster, who last season really struggled with drops. He sort of wondered, could this be the beginning of the end of his collegiate career? And kudos to Arian. From everything we've heard this spring, he's really lived up to the challenge, taken strides, steps forward had a good first scrimmage as well. I think there's real excitement about what he can bring to this passing game, given his speed and his ability to get open deep.
Jordan, I like what you say about what Kirby Smart said about creating havoc on defense. A few years ago, I stepped out on a limb and said that defense was dead in college football. Obviously, it's not over at Georgia when Dan Lanning was there, especially, and now with Muschamp and with Kirby Smart and everybody else there who plays a hard-nosed brand of defense. It's my belief that, if a defense can get more three and outs than the opponent, can create pressure and occasionally create some turnovers, and even better, a scoop and score pick six, that's what defense can do effectively in today's college football world with ridiculous offense. Speaking of defense, and all that being said, how's KJ Bolden doing over there? Because there are a lot of Tiger fans that still have a bad taste in their mouth about his recruitment.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that's coming along. We had a chance to talk to one of his teammates, Dan Jackson, who's also a safety. We talked to him on Tuesday and talked about, how even though he's just sort of getting settled and still learning, that you could see his potential. Now, I'm not in a position where I would say that I expect KJ to start right away. I think he's a guy that you'll probably see on the field on special teams, but we've heard that he's done a really good job of settling in. And again, he was a five-star for a reason. I think he's a guy. He's one of those guys, and Georgia's so good at doing this on defense, identifying guys that even as true freshmen, they are so deep, especially on defense at the different positions. But you still get those guys on the field in some capacity, and then they wind up making plays, whether it's blocking a punt or, getting in and mop-up duty and making a play. So early talk about KJ Bolden's been really positive. Again, I'm not convinced he's going to wind up being one of the starting safeties. They are having a competition opposite Malachi Starks, trying to fill the spot left by Javon Bullard. But I think the early reviews are positive. And I think really the test is going to be by the time we get to fall camp. How is KJ playing? And how is he sort of caught up with the expectations that come with playing safety in this defense? Which we know is very, very high. They expect a whole lot from those guys at the back end.
He's one of the main guys over at Dogs 247, Jordan Hill, joining us on the phone lines as he does every Wednesday here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We brought it up a little bit earlier. I want to circle back to this G-Day coming up, not this weekend, right, Jordan, next Saturday?
That's correct.
What is the format? Do we know what that's going to kind of look like yet? Has Kirby Smart said anything about what they're wanting that to look like? And then, look, I know you cover it. I know you're right about it, but we had some conversation earlier. I got to get your take on what you think of a spring game around college football and where it's at today.
Yeah, looking at the format, we haven't heard anything, but typically Kirby has kind of kept the same format. It's usually the first team offense versus the first team defense. Usually it's 15 minutes and mostly running clock. So it's a pretty standard setup, nothing too crazy, nothing like points for first downs or turnovers or anything like that. But, yeah, I'm someone who even last year when this was kind of a hot topic, when Hugh Freeze talked about it, I'm for seeing these spring games where teams play each other. Even the example, that like Hugh used, Auburn playing somebody in the state of Alabama and raising money that way, I've always said I'd like to see Georgia do that. And it's kind of set up well now where it's pretty obvious that if Georgia did it and played a team in the state of Georgia, it'd probably be Georgia State where Del McGee is now. And raise some money maybe for a hospital in Atlanta or a common charity between them. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things for me. I know fans get excited about the spring games, and, we as writers are going to go out, we're going to cover it, we're going to write about the things that wind up happening. But there's not a ton of stakes in this. You've got maybe some of the younger guys who want to assert themselves and can make the most of this, or a walk-on who gets on the field and wants to prove himself. But otherwise, when you're playing good on good, it's sort of like Kirby talked about the first scrimmage the other day. People were talking about big plays made, and he was sort of like, well, did that guy make a play or did the defense sort of blow a coverage?
Right.
Sometimes you're kind of deciding, okay, was that good or bad? So if you, if you have a chance to play another team, I think that would be worthwhile.
Yeah, and it's an ongoing conversation. Hugh Freeze actually talked to us about it yesterday. He got brought up again. Someone was able to ask him that question, and he kind of doubled down on what he said was, you know, I'd love to play other schools, and I've come out and said it a few times, but it's never really gained a whole lot of traction. So we'll see where that goes. But Georgia playing in their A day or their G day game, their spring game coming up next weekend, and of course we'll get to talk to you about that next week, previewing it a little bit more, trying to get some results, and then everything else going on around Georgia athletics. Jordan Hill at Dogs 247. Man, we love talking to you. It's always a good time. I tell you all the time, man, people in Auburn want to know what's happening in Athens. They care about Georgia, not enough to like them, but they want to know what's going on over there. So tell people where they can find all of your information at Dogs 247.
I appreciate that. Dogs247.com on Twitter, at Jordan Davis Hill on Twitter, at Dogs247. So as I mentioned a few minutes ago, big commitments coming up. There's going to be a lot to talk about with Georgia football. And now, again, we're sort of in the roster management phase of men's basketball, seeing what happens with the portal, who's coming in, who's coming out. Definitely going to be a very busy time of year. And then next week we'll be talking about G-Day.
That's right, Ben. Hey, we appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds great.
That's Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Go check him out. Hey, if you have an Auburn 247 subscription, right, if you are subscribed to any of the 247 sports sites, you get access to everything. So if you're on the Auburn site, go check out Dogs 247. Check out Jordan Hill and all the great writers over there. They do a fantastic job covering Georgia athletics. We'll take our final break in hour number one. Come back and wrap it up. Phone lines are open the rest of the show. Yes, that's right. 334-321-1390. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We appreciate Jordan Hill, as always, for joining us on Wednesdays. A lot going on over in Athens. I know the Dogs didn't win the NIT, Uncle T-Bone, but they made a run. And, yeah, you've got two teams in Indiana State and Seton Hall that we said it when the brackets came out. They should have been in the NCAA tournament, especially over the Cavaliers of Virginia. And now they're going to play for what is the not-in-tournament championship game.
Yeah, I mean, what can we say about the selection committee for this year's NCAA Big Dance that hasn't been said 100,000 times already on this show and others around the state and country? You know, St. John's is another one of those teams that got the shaft, in my opinion. We could go through and start picking out teams that shouldn't have been there, but Virginia is definitely on top of that list.
I mean, I ask you this. Would Virginia be playing in the NIT championship game? No, there's no way. They wouldn't have made that run. Not that there's high-level talent, but they wouldn't have been playing in that. So, look, I think those two teams got hosed. But shout out to Georgia for showing up, playing, and making a little run. And we'll see what happens with them in the transfer portal.
I mean, I look at that as playing in the NIT is something that you should do. I wasn't really impressed with teams like Ole Miss and St. John's that said, nah, we're better than that.
Florida State, Indiana.
You know, basketball is a little bit different game than football. You know, and these players opt out in football bowl games, I can't blame them one bit. They're meaningless. They are meaningless games, and you're going out there trying to wreck your body before the NFL draft? No. No. But basketball is a little bit different, in my opinion. And if I was a team that didn't make the NCAA tournament and I was the coach and the athletic director, I would demand that my team continue to play. It's just free practice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just free practice. And look, you can hear it in Jordan's voice from Jordan Hill from Dogs 247. He's a believer that this type of run is going to do nothing but accelerate Georgia's chances at becoming a better basketball program quicker than later. And they've been in the doldrums of the SEC for quite some time. And it's not like Ole Miss has torn it up and been Kentucky or Auburn or Alabama or Tennessee. Ole Miss needed that practice.
And I'm surprised that a coach like Chris Beard didn't take that on and didn't want to do that.
Maybe that athletic department's broke.
Listen,
in today's NIL world where you're having to come up with a ridiculous amount of money to compensate not just the star players in football and basketball, but every player across the board, because I can promise you, if you're not paying something to the softball players, they're going to get some attorneys after you for discriminatory payments to, you know,
that's Title IX
fair
right
or not. I mean, money's tight in today's inflationary world, and maybe some of those schools just couldn't afford to their team to start going on the road.
Well, I'll say this, too. You brought up the bowl game thing. If I was a player in college football, and it was whatever bowl game, the Cheez-It Bowl or whatever the sponsor is now, and I do think there's a lot more understanding when guys don't participate in the money grab game, because that's what bowl season is. It's a massive money grab. And you have so much roster turnover in football compared to basketball, where one or two guys leaving on the football team is not going to kill you, but one or two guys leaving on a basketball team could absolutely bury you. And you're not going to get better in the bowl game for next season. Let's just be real. Now, you can hurt yourself in the bowl game physically or the outlook of your program, and I think Auburn did that by dropping the ball against Maryland. But yeah, if you opt out of your bowl game, I didn't like it at first, but I get it now, because bowl season's all about the money. It's about playing these games and getting the media rights, whereas nobody's watching the NIT. You go and play the NIT because you want to play ball. That's why you participate in that tournament.
Yeah, a team like Maryland that doesn't have a whole lot of football tradition and a whole lot of success in football, a game against a team like Auburn, which is a top 15 historical program in college football, that's a big deal for them.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to go out and prove something, and they sure did. Auburn was just like, whatever, let's recruit.
Hour number one in the books. We've got a whole lot more to talk about with Auburn basketball. Already have news, potentially more news to come. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this gorgeous day in the Auburn-Opelika area once again. A little bit chilly with the breeze, but man, sun is shining. It's another beautiful day on the plains. Hour number one is in the books. You know what that means. Hour number two is underway here on ESPN 106.7. Uncle T-Bone sitting next to me. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. And if you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast. You can find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can also just search On the Line wherever you get your podcasts. We talked a little bit of Auburn basketball news, really just got to the headline itself. Didn't get a chance to get into our thoughts yet, so excited to do that here in hour number two. But we also had some interesting conversations in that first hour, which I think is always fun by our callers bringing in some unique topics, and I think those are the things that separate us at times, and that's what we enjoy. So we appreciate that. We also talked to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, got all the updates on Georgia athletics over from Athens. So we appreciate him joining us as he does every Wednesday. So again, if you missed that, you can go and find the podcast later on today. But phone lines are completely open here in hour number two, 334-321-1390. Whatever you want to talk about, your thoughts, comments, questions, concerns on anything around Auburn athletics, professional athletics, anything on your mind you want to talk about, come on in and be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. The news of the day, Uncle T-Bone is with Auburn basketball, and the fact that not only has KD Johnson entered the portal, we knew that for a while. The news today, Trey Donaldson has entered the transfer portal for Auburn.
Yeah, he's going to be missed. That was a guy that, like I said in the first hour, that I was becoming a real believer in. Probably my favorite player on the team.
Favorite player?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My youngest son thought the world of him. He loved his hair. He said, "There he is, Dad, the guy with the hair." But he's a he was starting to knock back shots. He was starting to get his three-pointer down. I think that if he had stayed at Auburn next year, he was going to become our starting point guard. He was beginning to play very solid defense. He's, you know, like I said, he's built like a rock, man. He's a former safety in football that was a four-star coming out of high school. I mean, some of you just didn't push around. He get some key rebounds. Played pretty tough defense, like I said. I mean, he had a couple of bad games where he had some pretty bad turnovers in the regular season. But you know, look, he was just a sophomore and was coming off the bench most of the time, which I feel like he far outplayed Aiden Holloway this year. I don't really know why he wasn't your full-time starter. I mean, do you?
Well, I mean, he started early on, right? He was your early on starter as Aiden was kind of getting going, and Trey started 10 games this season, and then Aiden came through, was starting to play, obviously played well at the start, and then while he was slumping there for a minute, Trey Donaldson came in, took over, but then Aiden Holloway, it was his. And look, I think there were numerous times, especially when it came to SEC, late SEC play, SEC tournament, and even that first game in the NCAA tournament, where we just continued to say, man, if Aiden Holloway gets hot, he's going to be great. If Aiden Holloway gets it, turns it on, he's going to be great for Auburn. But if it doesn't happen, it needed to be Trey Donaldson. And I'm kind of with you. I think Trey sort of got the short end of the stick because he played better than Aiden Holloway did pretty much all season long. But yet, you still had Aiden Holloway, who was a all-freshman SEC player. But Trey Donaldson, you felt more comfortable with, right? You felt better, at least me. I felt better about Trey Donaldson being on the floor, handling the basketball, defending, shooting, getting to the rack, everything. It just seemed like he played better. And it's because he took that jump. He took that step up from his first year to his second year, which is what you're supposed to do, which is what people are expecting Aiden Holloway to do if he's still in Auburn. And I was really hoping to see Trey Donaldson do it again from year two to year three. That's just not going to happen here at Auburn because he's entering the transfer portal. And this is somebody that I think Auburn was banking on for a while. Now, whether they were moving forward or not, I don't know. But somebody we talked a lot about in the outlook on next season's roster for Bruce Pearl.
Well, I don't want to be completely unfair to Aiden Holloway either. I'll say this, you know, in Bruce Pearl's system, it's not really that huge a deal to be the name starter, right? Because it's not like starting point guard in a system's playing the same type of minutes that Mark Sears is at Alabama, and the backup's not quite getting the looks that he thinks he should be. I mean, both Holloway and Trey Donaldson got plenty of minutes and plenty of film time. Aiden Holloway obviously needs to get a little bit physically stronger to play at this level more consistently. Mm-hmm. And Trey Donaldson had a little bit of advantage there by being a former high school football player also. But it's not like he just showed up here last year and tore it up. But you could just see from the day he started playing at Auburn until now, he's greatly improved. If he would just stayed at Auburn, how much more would he make? If he'd have made that same improvement from when he got here until now, over the next 2 years, say he had stayed at Auburn, he would be, in my opinion, a Mark Sears type player. Mm. And I think he's got that capability. I really do. He can get to the rim. He can dish. He can play defense. His shot was starting to come around.
Tournament Trey.
But I'll say this also, maybe it's indicative of this guy that's coming in that he is really the real deal, the Pettiford kid, and maybe they've got some guys lined up in the portal that they just really think are going to be the future. I don't know. That'll all reveal itself sooner than later. But I'm not going to put my stock into any more five-star guards at Auburn coming in and immediately being the answer. It's just too much. You know, even at Kentucky, a lot of these guys come in and struggle as five-stars.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines. Dak, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. What a beautiful day, huh?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so I agree with a lot of things both of you have said. I think, if I could give my two cents worth, I'm not a basketball coach, but I've been around a lot of kids in my days and coaching them. And I think the reason, if I can get into Coach Pearl's head for a second, I think when you saw that he pinpointed a starting guard they didn't follow through. And so I think that's why he bounced around, because it kind of took a lot of pressure off of him. Because over the last 2 years, especially with Trey, when he was the starter, after three or four games, what ended up happening? He ended up going back to the bench, and I can see why he did that, because it kind of takes a little pressure off of you when especially when you're a young guy, freshman and a sophomore, and you're not labeled as a starter. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't think that he improved as much offensively as he did defensively. And so maybe, you know, maybe Pearl told him that he's going to be doing the same thing, and he didn't like that.
That could definitely be it. I mean, he may be looking to go. I'm interested to see where he goes. Where does he end up? If he does indeed leave, if he doesn't come out of the portal and come back to
us. That may be very telling.
Is he going to North Carolina? Or is he going to, I mean, no. Seriously, you don't know. I mean, is he going to Texas A&M? Is he going to play at
UAB.
Or UAB or no offense to, Appalachian State, which beat Auburn, right? I mean, is he going to end up at a big-time program, you know, one of these Power 5 school basketball programs? I mean, is he going to be at Kansas State, or is he going to be at, New Mexico?
Yeah, I could see him being like at a Georgia Tech or
he may be going back to Florida State, and he's from Tallahassee.
Well, that's what I was going to say, going back to Florida State. But, I still say he's, as far as his pros chances, he's better off joining the football team and playing safety than he is playing, basketball.
Hey, and you know how to evaluate some football guys in your day, right?
That's right. I've seen him play. I've seen his tape, and I've always said this. As a matter of fact, I said it his freshman year, that he has a better chance of playing professional football than he does professional basketball. Now, I don't know about Europe now. Over there, I guess he does. But as far as the NBA, he's got a lot better chance of playing the NFL than he does in the NBA, I would think.
Yeah.
I would think anybody that's a four – and I don't know it like you do, my man, but anybody who's a four-star safety – and recruited by the likes of Florida State in football, it has the tools and the capabilities of getting to the NFL. Now, whether or not they do or not, it's a different question. But, there's more spots to play football in the NFL than there are to play guard in the NBA.
Absolutely. And, I mean, when you're offered by six SEC schools and five ACC schools,
yeah, you can play.
Good, man.
Yeah.
They ain't just giving them out, And I know y'all have a lot of callers wanting to call in, but I will touch base on the spring game. I've heard y'all talk about it today. It has become so boring and to the point where I can't stand to even go watch it anymore. It's not like it used to be where, it was a given. The starters were playing three quarters, and then, the last quarter, everybody else got to play. Of course, it's the opposite of that now. And, wouldn't it be great if we played a jamboree and you had UAB and Troy and you played everybody, the starters played everybody a quarter? That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and we had a caller bring that up, and I think it was John earlier that said it, and T-Bone and him are kind of talking about, almost like a weekend jamboree type of thing where, bring up Samford and UAB or South Alabama, whoever, and let's just play two quarters each against each other and just test out some new things,
Yeah, make it be a fundraiser for whatever calls, and you rotate stadiums every year and just make it a – every year thing, man. That would be cool.
Get something out of it. I mean, that's what I've been saying the last few days, is get something out of it. Make it worth everybody's time rather than bringing people together and trying to get a quick buck.
That's right. And look, if it continues the way it's going, like last year, and I get the weather was terrible, but I don't think that would have mattered how they would have ran the scrimmage, but it's going to get to the point where nobody's coming. You're going to have 15,000 at the most going to be there, and nobody's going to be showing up anymore,
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, y'all have a great day. I love listening to you. Great show.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Dak. Always great to hear from you, man. You've been a loyal listener for a really long time, and I appreciate you. With the spring game again, here's the problem, and Hugh Freeze said it yesterday. You can't give up anything, right? You're not out there. You don't have your playbook out there
right.
and calling all your stuff, A, because the guys don't have the capability to run all the plays yet, and B, you're not trying to show all your stuff. This isn't just 10 or 15,000 fans sitting in the stadium. It's televised. It's on TV. Anybody in the country that wants to go find it can find it. And so...
And, hey, if you're playing in the Big Ten, Michigan might send some people to scout you out. I don't know.
I mean, they could. They don't even have to send anybody. That's what I'm saying. You could just sit on your couch and watch Auburn spring game if you want to. And it's like, what are you supposed to do, right? I mean, what if you're a coach, your hands are out here in the front of you tied together because you don't – there's nothing you can do. You can't please everybody. And I said this on the show yesterday. You could hear it in Hugh Freeze's voice. He's not a fan of it. And I said this, I've said this for years.
Well, what do you do, though? I mean,
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
This is like one of these traditions.
I said just make it
do.
A practice. Get rid of the game.
Yeah.
Get rid of the fan experience. I know it's a great thing, and I know you were talking about that earlier.
Well, just
about
open up the venue to the fans and make it a glorified scrimmage. Yeah, I mean, my first thing about it is I'm just going to take a really deep breath when I go in there and hope and pray to God that Cam Coleman doesn't get hurt.
You better
and
believe
it. And I'm knocking on wood right now, and I hope everybody else is, right? Like, get some kind of – I'm not even going to say it because I don't want to call it up. And you know what I'm saying?
I do.
And then you know what's going to come out of this, Jacob? And it is great for radio because Peyton Thorne will either, A, have a ridiculously great A-Day, or, B, throw a couple of pick sixes and look like he did in the New Mexico State game with all these drops, and it'll be sloppy, and it's going to be sunshine pumping on one hand or the sky is falling on the other. And we're going to have to just say, guys, we told y'all Wednesday before A-Day that it's nothing more than a glorified scrimmage and really doesn't matter.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to say. It may be great for other guys on the radio, but for us, I'm not buying into it. I never have, and I'm not going to. And for people that know us and know this show and tune in from this time period, you know that's how we roll. And I'm not saying there aren't things to take away from it, and I'm not saying that it can't be a good thing. It's just not what others are going to try and make it to be, whether that be radio, journalism, fans, anything. I mean, anybody that takes it in is going to have an opinion about it. I'm just telling you to kind of pump the brakes a little bit on that about A-Day. And I think most people are like, okay, let's try to find a change for this when it comes to that. So, Dak, we appreciate the call. And back to Trey Donaldson for a second before we get to break. And we could talk about him some more when we come back. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's take our first break in hour number one. We'll come back, continue talking about Trey Donaldson, because I think there's more to this. I think there's more to why he's entering the portal and possibly what could be coming in through the portal as well. 334-321-1390. Back after this on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Continuing on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, and sometimes the conversations we have during the break are the ones that we should probably roll over, maybe not roll over, into the on-air part of the show. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not so good. But hot mic. Turn that thing off now. Wouldn't be your first time. But, you know, sometimes... And like we were talking just now, we kept kind of rolling on with the whole A-Day conversation. And I want to talk more on the basketball side, but I don't know, man. Here's the question I pose. All right, question of the day. We haven't done this in a while. Question of the day on the fly. Here we go. If Auburn came out right now at 3:21 in the afternoon on Wednesday, 4 days before A-Day, and Auburn, the university athletics department, Auburn football came out and said, breaking news, apologies, fans. A-Day due to unforeseen circumstances. A-Day for 2024 has been canceled. What if Auburn were to say that right now? That's not happening. I'm just saying, what if that were to happen right now? How many people listening to this show or around the state, how many of them would truly be up in arms, upset about it? I don't know. I think there would be a lot. For the family aspect, for the weekend trip aspect with baseball tied into it and all that, right? It's just, I don't know. And I'm not trying to harp on it. I'm not. I'm just, something, and I don't want it to just go away. But something has to change because it's not beneficial. And I said this yesterday. It's not beneficial to the team anymore. Because it's not about the team anymore. It's not about the football program. It's not even about the fans anymore, which is what makes A-Day so special. It's not about them. You know what it's about. It's what everything else is about. I'm not even going to say what it is because you all know what I'm saying.
About money.
There you go.
Ah, man. You know, how much can the university really make off of A-Day? It's a great question. Is it something that they have now written in as revenue in their budget and they're counting on it every single year?
If you're counting on A-Day to survive, you got a bigger problem.
I don't know if they're counting on it to survive, but, you know, a couple of extra $100,000 never hurt really any organization. But how much is it cost to put it on as opposed to how much you're really bringing in? Is it really even worth charging someone $10 to even walk through those gates?
Which it used to be $5.
I would pay $20 if I knew that that money was going to the players down on the field for NIL. And I understand that there's rules, and that's not how it works, Uncle Timo, and blah, 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 whatever. You could take that money yourselves and probably donate it to the NIL immediately. Or just let what's the NIL called at Auburn now? I keep forgetting.
On to Victory?
On to Victory. Just let On to Victory run the show for it.
Well, like Dak said earlier.
And collect all the revenue for it.
Yeah.
And pay all the expenses for it. And then whatever's left over is part of that NIL fund. Now, I'm all for that. You know, I think you got to gear these events now towards NIL. Mm-hmm. How are we going to raise money? How are we going to raise excitement for our program? How are we going to better our program here? What is spring practice really all about anyway? What's the whole point? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking as a question. I'm not trying to be snarky or anything. What is the point of spring football practice? Therefore, how does the last game tie into your goals for spring practice? Are you just trying to stay in shape? Are you just trying to make sure the guys are staying accountable? Are you just trying to make sure that the guys stay sharp? I mean, they pretty much do that year-round now. I think spring practice as a whole, along with A-Day or G-Day or whatever day you want to call it, is something of the past that may not even be necessary anymore. Times change, folks.
Which is what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're going to say, Alan. I see you over there smiling, our producer, Alan. Back in 1984, I got a free Bo Jackson t-shirt, Uncle T-Bone, and we got to keep those traditions alive. Man, traditions die and live now. The game has changed. Times have changed. I don't like it any more than you, but I'm willing to roll with it. So are we even having a bigger question now about spring practice as a whole, and is it really even necessary?
I think spring practice is. And to answer your question, I think spring practice is about development. It's about development. It's about teaching. It's about learning when you come in. It's about the Cam Colemans of the world that are just pure raw talent that don't know how to play college football, that don't know elite route running signals and how to truly get open and how to read a defense before the play is snapped, right? That's what spring is about. It's about that linebacker trying to read what the offense is doing and try to make adjustments on the fly. It's about that safety that's trying to figure out whether he needs to cheat up or drop back and whether he's going to have somebody back behind him to help him or not, right? That's what spring is about. It's about that corner when he presses up and plays man-to-man on which way he needs to turn his body and how he needs to shuffle his feet before he takes off running to cover the receiver. That's how you do the spring. That's those things that you are teaching right now.
Well, I'm sure NCAA rules still are part of the spring practice allowance, this time that you only get so much of a year, and this is part of the every semester you get so many hours to work with your players.
Yeah, of course.
Above board. I'm sure that there's some other teams that have pushed the envelope on how often they have contact with coaches or GAs or whatever they want to call them in their players. But it just seems like to me that spring practice was something more necessary, say like in the 1970s and 80s, where guys played football, the season was over, and then they were just kind of a student. Like, I don't think that 40 years ago, except it may be a few major programs, and I could be wrong. I'm sure Coach Don will let me know if I am.
That's right.
Love that guy. But he's got way more experience. I wish he was here to answer these questions. 40 years ago, I don't think maybe except for maybe the Nebraskas of the world, possibly the Alabamas, but I don't even think they did it, were working out every single day. I mean, their players weren't – they work out – those football players are 24-7, 365 now. There was a huge lull. You played your season, you rested up, the coaches went and recruit, you were a student. Okay, spring's coming back around March, let's get back in shape. And it kind of allowed you to have this rest area, but opposite of getting in shape, and then it was done, and then you were gone for summer. A lot of these kids had to go home summer and work the farm, Jacob.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Or work the family business. Mm-hmm. And then they come back for summer practice and get back in shape for the season. So I just think that it's something that as a whole might be antiquated, especially with how the calendar's changing so much in recruiting and other ways in college football. And really and truly, if we're going to talk about whether or not A-Day or G-Day is really worth it, is an official spring practice really worth it? And should the NCAA, if they do have these hours – where you only have so many, should they be do. Changed? I mean, look, Jake, I know I'm sounding a little long-winded here, and I'll relinquish the microphone, but I went to an Auburn High football game this fall, and I was shocked, not at how big and fast and strong the starters were, but across the board, the team on the sidelines. They're ripped. Those kids were working out every single day, every single year. That's not how it used to be.
Yeah. It's a new era, man.
It's a new era.
It's a new era. It's a new age of athletics, of football especially. And sure, I think it's okay to question the way that things have been done for so long. It's a very lost art that people don't do a whole lot. And I don't think spring football is going anywhere, but I think the format could definitely change. And I think the calendar could absolutely change, and that would please a lot of head coaches.
Yeah, that it's just something that probably is going to have to be taken a look at in the overall change of how football is run calendar-wise.
Yeah, I'm with you. 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. More football talk, more basketball talk as well when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We're having a lot of fun here on ESPN 106.7. We got so much basketball stuff to get to, but we got another phone call, so let's get to that. We'd love for you to be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. I believe, Dak, we got a returning customer on the show today. What's up, man? Did you forget something?
Especially the topic y'all just was hitting on about spring and the purpose and all of that. Man, me and T-Bone get together, I can talk for 3 or 4 hours, man.
Hey, come on in studio sometime. I'll give you permission.
I hear you. Well, look, the reason spring training used to be so important, and especially you would think it would be now, is because that's where you learn to be physical. That's what spring training is all about, is the physical practice, because you can't do it in August anymore.
Right.
You can't afford to get nobody hurt. So it's so important to have physical practices. That's where you – and especially for your defensive line, and offensive line.
Where you line up and hit somebody.
That's right.
That makes some sense.
And T-Bone is right. A lot of things have changed. One of the main things that have changed over the last 10 and 15 years – is the 7-on-7 passing all summer long.
Yeah.
So your skilled people are getting the work.
Right.
But your linemen are not.
I see.
And your linebackers is not as much. And so
that makes a lot of sense. It's a lot easier for the quarterback and a few receivers say, hey, let's meet up over there at Sanford Lawn and toss the pigskin around and run routes and make sure that we're on the same page. Let's do it every afternoon while we're checking out chicks instead of the beefy guy saying, hey, let's get out there and
hit each other
and let's get physical.
That's right. And when 7-on-7 first started, it was like one week of it.
Right.
And it's evolved to the whole summer now.
It's like travel baseball, man. It's just taken over.
That's right. And you know what, guys? A lot of kids get recruited strictly on what they see in 7-on-7.
Which I don't think is a good thing.
No, absolutely not. And so it gives you a false pretense of what they can do. I mean,
yeah. I'll tell you this, Zach.
Playing short.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Dak. I know exactly what you're saying because yours truly was Rookie of the Year 1985 in the NFL. The neighborhood football league and comeback player in 1989. But around 1990, when I hit high school and I had to put those pads on, it's an entirely different game, especially trying to catch a football with a helmet on.
That's right. That's right. And you're absolutely right about the kids today are bigger, faster, and stronger. I mean, used to kids play three sports or at least two sports. And today, yeah. Most of those kids are not doing that. And today's high school weight programs are 100% better than they were 30 years ago, 40 years ago, yeah. And even 20 years ago, guys. And look, Rut, you can say what you want to, but in the state of Alabama, Rush Probst and Bill Clark changed everybody's weight program.
You're right about
that. They were the first ones to demand, I want first block off, and I want everybody, every football player in that weight. And everybody else across the state would laugh at you when you said that. And it took about 7 years of that, of them winning state championships every year, to everybody jump on board one after another.
Yeah.
And that's what has improved high school football is the weight room and the weight coaches, and they're putting
and the
a
nutrition.
Lot of effort into making it. That's right.
Yep. And the protein shakes.
And winning speaks louder than everything.
And the personal trainers and the personal
right.
coaches. I mean, there's
Look,
coaches
guys,
that can increase your speed.
Let me tell you a true story. When I was at Prattville, we had a guy that left us to go be the Thompson's head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent head coach, right? They wouldn't let him have weight room. He didn't. They wouldn't let him do what needed to be done. The wrestling coach had more say-so than the football coach. So, needless to say, he left after one season. Didn't win. I think they won one game. He goes on to become the head coach at McGill-Tulane and win a couple of state championships
mm-hmm.
after he was, you know, at Daphne as offense coordinator for
the Yellow Jackets from McGill.
That's right. But my point is, Thompson, it took them about 20 years, 15 years later to finally get a superintendent to say, we're going to make football priority.
And
what
look at them now.
The very first week, what happened? They got rid of the wrestling coach, brought in the coach they got now, put in first block weight training, and the rest is history.
That's right.
And then
That's
started
right.
taking Tuscaloosa money and recruiting players from Hawaii.
Well, that's
what a
right.
run.
And, look, the difference now in Hoover, they're getting Hoover's kids.
That's right. Yeah, Birmingham.
Hoover used to get all the kids. Now it's spread out a little bit.
Now, yeah. Zach, you know, Dak, nobody's recruiting in high school football.
That's right. You're absolutely right. They just get their daddy's job. It ain't recruiting.
Hey, look at the whole city of Alabaster.
Thanks, Dak. We appreciate the call, man.
Look at the entire city of Alabaster, what used to just kind of be a very small stopping point, a rest stop on 65 North.
I mean, just draw a circle.
Go into Birmingham, and now, I mean, I just saw on, like, AL.com, there's like a 5,300-acre development going on there. I mean, it is booming.
Just draw a circle with an hour outside of Birmingham all the way around. You don't even have to go an hour, but 45 minutes. I mean, that is one of the hottest pockets in the country for high school football. And that doesn't include Auburn, Central, Opelika, Smith. All those, you know, all the Mobile schools. Like, that doesn't include anywhere else across the state. North Alabama, like, doesn't include any of those. That's just in the Birmingham region.
I mean, if you take out Birmingham, the city itself, and go a 30-minute circle at some of the best high school football in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, in the country.
I mean, you've got Hoover, you've got Thompson, you've got Hewitt Trustful, you've got Clay Chalkville, Gardendale, Fultondale. I mean,
Spain Park, been there day.
There's plenty of solid football up there, which, you know, means that a lot of these suburbs have taken over the city itself. I'll tell you, one of the hottest, though, Auburn Opelika is a super hot area.
You better believe it.
And Huntsville as well. But you get the dogs down out of Mobile.
Yeah. And you can find some cats down in Montgomery too.
Yeah, but Mobile, there is a reason why that the REC Mobile faction is the strongest one out of them all. They have been.
Yeah.
That is where you must dominate in recruiting in the state of Alabama.
I will say this too before we move on, Dak. We appreciate you calling back in. Always great insight from a guy that's been around the game for a long, long time.
Yeah, he's awesome.
It just shows you see the amount of money that these high schools are putting towards football programs. Now, man, I was just up in Trustful this past weekend.
Right.
And they are building a brand new football practice facility. That's what they're building right across the road from the football stadium. It's going to be an open pavilion, kind of like UAB uses, if anybody's ever seen that. It's just a massive pavilion, open sides, open walls, and they're going to put a football field in there. And it's across the road from their... I always call it the University of Trustful Football Stadium because it's so big. I mean, it's just you see what the money that they're putting into it, but results, again, winning speaks louder than anything. And that's what these high schools are doing, not just in Alabama, across the country, in Texas and in Georgia and in Ohio and all these other places, Pennsylvania, like all these schools and states that are just committing to high school football. It's bigger than it's ever been.
I mean, high school football in a football-crazed state like Alabama, in a football-crazed area like East Alabama, is huge. And it's one of the reasons why, if you're a business owner out there, you need to partner with us over at here at the AU Network over on Wings, because we got Auburn High football and Lee Scott football, and the listenership is loyal and fantastic.
And it's growing by the day.
Every single day. It's growing just like those football programs are. I can't even imagine what a high school would spend on a practice facility. $10 million?
Shoot, I'm sure.
I mean, in today's world, at least, I mean, with football, whether you like it or not, comes a tremendous amount of revenue, and you got to capture it. And there are cities like Alabaster that have used their high school program in Thompson to not only grow their school system, but to grow the city itself.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, fun conversation there with Dak. Like I said, we appreciate him calling back in. Phone lines are still open, 334-321-1390. On the basketball side of things, we've talked a lot about Trey Donaldson, who has entered the transfer portal. I think there's some reasons for that. I want to get back to that in a second, but there is some news that came out about 20 minutes ago, a guy that is returning to Auburn basketball, officially, according to him and according to the Auburn basketball social media pages. Chad Baker-Mazzara has announced that he will return for Auburn basketball, and he'll be back next season for the Tigers. And look, take away what happened in that game against Yale in the NCAA tournament. Before that game, everybody was hoping and praying that he comes back to Auburn. And how about this breaking news, too, as I look up on the TV, Bronny James entering the transfer portal from USC. How about that?
Well, maybe he'll come to Auburn since he was the reason. Since he was the reason why all those fans allegedly were outside of Neville Arena waiting to see the Auburn.
Because he's got millions of them in Auburn.
Take on the USC because LeBron was coming, right? And then like the next week, there was like twice the crowd for another game. I'm not seeing this anywhere officially on Chad Baker-Mazzara. Auburn basketball posted it. Okay,
yeah,
well, then that's as official as it gets.
They posted a graphic and a video of him saying my journey's not done.
He's a heck of a player. I think there's a huge misconception with Auburn officials, especially, and some Auburn fans, that because people were very upset, and fans especially, with Chad Baker-Mazzara getting ejected 3 minutes roughly within the start of the game against Yale, that just everyone was hating on him and they don't want to see him a Tiger and you know, you never liked him anyway and ridiculous, and if you criticize him, he's not going to come back, and all this other negative stuff, which couldn't be further from the truth. Thank goodness he's coming back. He's a heck of an athlete and a heck of a player, and I'm happy for him because this is going to give him some stability. And I think, he's been bouncing around college basketball for quite some time. And I think that attitude, that his attitude's almost one of lashing out and instability at times. I'm not saying all the time. I think he's a great kid. And you can see how emotional and how much he cares about things after the interview in the basketball game when he was talking about his coach passed away in the regular season on the SEC Network. It's crazy. You can't help but really like the kid. This offseason is a good time for him and for Auburn to work on making sure he gets his mind right.
Yeah.
Let's take all that emotion that you have And let's not lash out. Let's not throw elbows. Let's not fight and scrap. Let's focus on your – let's not yap it. Let's focus all that on becoming the very best basketball player you can be and let your game do the talking. And that kid, if he will do that, could be in the NBA.
Well, I think it's a good thing that he's coming back. I think he's a player that makes Auburn better regardless. And I mean, if you can't see that, then I guess just don't watch, right? I guess that's what you need to do if you don't see that. But
still give your NIL money.
That's right. Well, Jack Cutton tweets out the quote, and I guess that I haven't been able to listen to it because I just saw it while we were on the air, but apparently the video is Chad Baker-Mazzara speaking in Spanish, and it loosely translates to, "The job isn't done, welcome me back, War Eagle," is what it says, is what he was saying, I think is what it loosely translates to. So,
well, welcome back, buddy, and the job is not finished, and hopefully he'll come back and help finish that job and get Auburn moving in the NCAA tournament past the first round and even the second, and let's see if we can't get back to being a Final Four team.
We were talking about Chad Baker-Mazzara being the X factor in the tournament and in March and down the stretch of the regular season.
When he's on, Auburn is a different team.
I watched him play in person in Athens on the road in Georgia inside of Stegman Coliseum, and that's the best I've seen him play in his entire career. And that's the player we were hoping he was going to be the rest of February and into March. We didn't fully get that, but you got to remember, Jalen Williams did not play in that game, and that's why that he was doing the things that he did. And so now that Jalen Williams is not on this team, yes, you're bringing in some guys through high school ranks, and I think you're going to get a couple of high school recruits as well. But if he could show something like that, man, Chad Baker-Mazzara makes Auburn better. And as I was saying, before the game in the NCAA tournament against Yale, everybody was hoping that he would come back. And sure, a lot of emotions got riled up and people got fired up about his act in the play in the tournament. But before that, he was a guy that everybody wanted back at Auburn. They wanted to be here, and he makes Auburn better. That's the best way I can say it. That's the simplest way I can say it, and it's a good thing that he's coming back to Auburn. I want to take our final break here on the show. We'll come back, give a little bit of portal updates on maybe why Trey Donaldson has decided to leave Auburn because of some guys that the Tigers are going after in the portal. We'll have that and wrap up the Wednesday edition of On the Line after this.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We appreciate you all being with us. Been a great show. We'll wrap it up for you in just a second. Let's get to the phone lines one more time. 334-321-1390. Jones, you're on the line, man. Happy Wednesday.
Man, come on, Trey. Pull a Keontae Scott on us. Trey, let me tell you something. There's no better place to get a degree or to play basketball than Auburn University. If the grass looks green on the other side of the fence, start watering your grass a little more, my friend. Stay with us, man. Pull a Keontae. This is Jones out.
Appreciate the call. There you go.
I agree with him. You know, I'm like, you know, unless there's just somebody that's come in the NIL. And you got to remember this, folks. There's another factor, that NIL. There could be somebody that just says, they need a point guard badly. We got 400K. We got you circled. Are you willing to come or not? And Auburn says, well, we can only afford to pay 250K. I mean, that's a tough decision for a kid, man. You know, it could be something along those lines, too. I think the story will flush out exactly why he's leaving. But if it's not about and truly not about more money, I got to think, man, you know, you're better off staying at Auburn. I really think that. I mean,
from a development standpoint, I agree with that.
I mean, I guess unless he's going to get like the North Carolina point guard starting position or something. I don't know. You know, but this there's a little bit more legs to this story. The long and short of it is I'm a little shocked by this decision.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all may have heard about this stuff. I don't have sources. I don't want sources. I'm a fan. I don't need sources. But I really thought Trey Donaldson would be back this year.
Well, I'll say this. Trey Donaldson, at the start of this whole portal thing when Auburn got bounced from the tournament, Trey Donaldson was not the one I was being told was going to leave. And I'll leave it at that. Okay. I mean, that's kind of – he was not the one I was worried about at the forefront. There were other guys that I was concerned about. KD, I kind of knew. But I think there were other guys on that team, in that locker room, that I was thinking were going to leave. And I still don't think that's out of the picture here. I don't think that's out of question on other guys possibly leaving. But Auburn's going to bring in some serious talent through the transfer portal. And they're looking at a guy named J.P. Pegues from Furman. And in case you don't know that name, he's the guy that beat Virginia a couple years ago in the tournament with an amazing buzzer beater at the a winner at the buzzer to beat Virginia. And he has been on campus. And I think there's other guys, too. There's a guy by the last name of Rice who, if you don't know him, you should go check him out as well. He's a really, really good player. I think he's down to a couple of schools as well. So I think it's a combination of playing time when it comes to guys that are already on the roster and what Auburn could potentially be bringing in and what Trey Donaldson's role was more than likely going to be.
The Piggy Sky from Furman, 1 year eligibility left or what? I think that plays a factor into it as well. If he's going to be here for 2 years, does Trey Donaldson want to continue this kind of point guard shuffle for 2 years? If he's only going to be here 1 year, though, unless he's been encouraged to leave, and I just don't know if that's the case, I could totally be wrong. I don't know why you just don't continue what you're doing until you become a senior and keep developing, because I'm with Jones. I really feel like that if he stays and he stays in this system and the stability of it, all he's going to do is greatly improve.
Yeah.
When you start bouncing around in jobs, in life, in sports, in colleges, you're more likely to continue bouncing around as opposed to if you lock it down and really grind, where are you going to be as opposed to you go to NC State next year and then after that you're at Boston College? You just kind of get lost in the shuffle. So there's a risk, and that's part of the NIL risk for these players. Yeah, you might get some more money, but you bounce from here to there, you might get lost in the tumbleweeds.
Well, I think you're onto something there when it comes to where does Auburn go for talent in the portal, and do you go after those one-year rentals, or do you go after young freshmen, sophomores that didn't work out, such as Trey Donaldson will be for other schools, right? A sophomore that's a rising junior that will have a couple of years remaining, right? And so where does Auburn go in terms of that? Look. Pegues is one of the better guards. He was a junior this past year, and so he would have his senior year, and then he could have an extra year probably to continue with some schooling and stuff like that. So, look, I think Auburn's in on him. I think he's in on Auburn. I think that's something to keep an eye on, and I think there's other names to be known as well. And as we go along through the rest of this week, and it could be a couple more days. It could be numerous days. That's just right. Kind of how the portal works.
I would like to think that if any more players are leaving, and with the difficult discussions that the coaching staff has with players after being bounced in the first round against Yale, to kind of summarize the season, what are your plans? What are our plans for you? Do you have a place here or not? Let's be honest, that these decisions ought to happen pretty quickly, because the last thing that Auburn needs is somebody like Jani Broome especially. But what about Dylan Cardwell? Is he coming back? Do you need these guys? Well, Coach, I'll let you know in a couple weeks. Hold on now, man. Look, we've been good to you. We need to know now, because if you're leaving, we got to go find someone to replace you.
Which is why the timing of the Trey Donaldson announcement is a little weird to me, but I think it speaks very, very loud about why he's leaving, and I'll leave it at that. We appreciate you all being with us here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Been a lot of fun. Thanks to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Thanks to all our wonderful listeners and callers. Uncle T-Bone, you'll be back with me on Friday. Busy show tomorrow. Lindsey Crosby, yes, our baseball guy, coming back in studio. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. And Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. All of that tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.